भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम Seventh Canto, Chapter 2, entitled Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons. And I believe text number 29 is on the board. Vishirna Ratna Kavacham. Okay. I don't believe we read text 28 yesterday. So I'll read that verse as well. And this verse, today's verse is rather short, so there's a couple of verses afterwards with no purports, so we'll also read them because they're closely related to this whole little four or five number of verses. So I'll read text number 28 first. Ushi Nadeshvabudraja Suyagya iti Vishrutam Sapatnair Nehato Yudhe Gyatayastang Upasatam. Translation. In the state known as Ushinara, there was a celebrated king named Suyagya. When the king was killed in battle by his enemies, his kinsmen sat down around the dead body and began to lament the death of his friend. Text number 29. Please repeat. Vishirna Ratnam Kavacham Vibrasta Bharana Srajam Shara Nirbhina Hridayam Shayanam Asrig Avilam Vishirna Ratna Kavacham Vishirna Ratna Kavacham Vibrasta Bhyarana Srajam Vibrashta Bharana Srijam Shara Nirbhina Hridayam Shara Nirbhina Hridayam Shayanam Asrigha Vilam Vilam Shayanam Asrigha Vilam Vishirna Ratna Kavacham Vibrasta Bharana Srijan Sharanir Bhina Hridayan Sayanam Masrigha Vilam. Vishirna Ratna Kavacham Vishrasta Bharana Srajam Sharanirbhina Hridayam Shayanam Asrigha Vilam Vishirna Ratna Kavacham Vishrasta Bharana Srajam. Ladies. Vishirna Ratna Kavacham Vibrashta Bharana Srijam Sharanirbhina Hridayan Text number 30. Prakirna Kesham Dvastakya Dvastaksham Rabhasa dhashtadachadam, Raja kunta mukam bhujam, Chinna yudha bhujam mridhe, Usinarendram vidhinata takritam, Patim mahisya prasamikshadukita, Atasmanateti kararuro bhrisham, Grantyo muhustat parayorupapatan. The word for word is quite long, so we're going to move straight on to the translations. Translation. His golden bejeweled armor smashed, his ornaments and garments fallen from their places. I did. Didn't I read 28? Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. I read it yesterday. Text number 28. In the state known as Ushinara, there was a celebrated king named Suyagya. When the king was killed in battle by his enemies, his kinsmen sat down around the dead body and began to lament the death of their friend. His golden bejeweled armor smashed, his ornaments and garlands fallen from their places, his hair scattered, and his eyes lusterless. The slain king lay on the battlefield, his entire body smeared with blood, his heart pierced by the arrows of the enemy. When he died, he had wanted to show his prowess, and thus he had bitten his lips, and his teeth remained in that position. His beautiful lotus-like face was now black and covered with dust from the battlefield. His arms, with his sword and other weapons, were cut and broken. When the queens of the king of Ushinara saw their husband lying in that position, they began crying, quote, O Lord, now that you have been killed, we also have been killed, end of quote. Repeating these words again and again, they fell down, pounding their breasts at the feet of the dead king. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As stated here, Rabhasa Dhashta Dhachadam, the dead king, while fighting in anger, bit his lips to show his prowess. But nonetheless, he was killed by providence, Vidhina. This proves that we are controlled by higher authorities. Our personal power or endeavor is not always supreme. We must therefore accept the position offered to us by the order of the Supreme. The next two texts are without a purport, but they're closely related, so we'll just read all of that together. Text number 32. Rudhatya uchchar daitangri pankajam sinchantya asrai kuchakum kumarunai vishasta kesha bharana suchamrinam srijantya ka srijantya akrandhanayaya vilepire. Translation. As the queens loudly cried, their tears glided down their breasts, becoming reddened by kumkum powder, and fell upon the lotus feet of their husband. Their hair became disarrayed, their ornaments fell, and in a way that evoked sympathy from the hearts of others, the queens began lamenting their husband's death. Text 33. Aho vidhatra karunena yaknak parabho bhavan panito drigago charam dhasam usinaranam asivriti dhapuram vito dhanu Translation. O Lord, you have now been removed by cruel providence to a state beyond our sight. You have previously sustained the livelihood of the inhabitants of Ushinara, and thus they were happy. But your condition now is the cause of their unhappiness. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshunanitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapidam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Shvapakantikam Ukam Guru Divachalam Pangam Nangayate Girim Yakibetam Maham Vande Sri Gurum Dinatarunam. So as Srila Prabhupada mentioned, and Sardas Prabhu repeated yesterday, these are all histories from bygone ages. So this was prior to Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha even taking birth. So this is something that's being handed down over quite a period of time. So what is the significance of it? From what I can understand, again, it's simple, very basic information that we're not that what is the need for lamenting in this material world. Certainly looking hearing this description, it invokes sympathy, as Srila Prabhupada translates in the text number 32, that certainly it invokes sympathy for the hearts of from the hearts of others. Just hearing this sad case, and again, Hiranyakashipu is relating this to his relatives to also appease them, because they're feeling certainly a lot of grief as a result of Hiranyaksha's demise, and especially a mother, she's feeling her grief is much more intense at the passing of a son, or for women in general, they tend to be more emotional about these matters. Even in present society, you see how when someone passes, they tend to generally go to the ladies and show how they're grieving. And I've always wondered how, why is it that they're beating their, and pounding their breasts. But we can see from here that, from this history, that it's going on for ages. It's a good exhibition of a grief, and particularly for a mother. I remember when, or a wife for that matter. I remember when my father passed away. I was there with my mother, and she was lamenting that, what will I do now? Actually, she, at one point, there was some anger. Just as here, there's a little bit of anger exhibited by the wives of the king, Sujana. What will we do now? I remember my mother saying, using those same words actually, lamenting that, what will I do now? Now that I'm at this advanced age, and I have a son that I have to be caretaker for, caregiver, because she had a young son who was struggling with some handicaps, and a house, and so many other things. Anyway, the point is that this condition, it becomes quite lamentable. And one may ask, why are such things happening? Prabhupada very nicely points this out in the purport, that we must therefore accept the position offered to us by the order of the Supreme. In other words, our condition in this world is not accidental. As Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Purusha Shuka Dukhanam, that the living entity is responsible for his, is the cause of his various sufferings and enjoyments. It's not that the Lord, the Supreme Controller, makes some particular beeline toward your suffering. So Hiranyaksha here, or Hiranyakashipu, is also pointing this out through narrating this very nice story of this king who whose wives are now grieving, and they're also wondering why such a terrible thing could happen. But we have to understand that all of this is under the control of the higher authorities. Karma nadaiva natrena jantur deho papataye. The Supreme Lord, under his supervision, and according to one's work, we're made to enter into a certain womb, and we have to accept a certain body. This is all the result of one's own doing. It's not that, again, that the Supreme Lord is picking on a particular living being. But it's by some predestination. We have a certain amount of breaths, as described. You can imagine these people who do all this long-distance running and all of this talking. Everyone has a certain allotted time, a certain allotted number of breaths, and if you squander them in useless activity and useless conversation, it's such a great it's a great misfortune. This pastime continues. It's very important. It's actually very interesting how this whole pastime with Prahlad and Lord Nrisimhadev has brought in so many other great personalities. Not only are we hearing this, as Srila Prabhupada points out earlier and later on in this story, that these are great histories. So Shukadeva Goswami is, we're hearing from him. We have the great fortune of hearing from him. But we're also hearing from Narada Muni. Narada Muni takes part in this pastime also. And he's a very important personality in his giving instructions to Prahlad in the womb. But there's also Yamaraj. Yamaraj comes later on in this story. And how he begins to narrate, or he comes in the form of a small child and begins to instruct the wives of Sujana, and begins and gives a very nice narration, the story of the hunter and the Kalinga birds, in which the hunter catches the female, the hunter and two Kalinga birds. These hunters set a trap and they caught the female, and the male bird begins to lament that how providence is so cruel. And sometimes we're also thinking in that state of mind, particularly when there is some reversal in life, just like here the queens, or the mother, I should say, Hiranyakashipu is instructing his mother and relatives. They're also thinking, how is it that providence is so cruel? And we also have that tendency that why does it have to happen to me? We become the victim. But again, we have to understand, and we hear this from Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, and later on we're hearing now also from the different Mahajans, how the living entity is responsible for what he does in this life. Whatever sufferings and enjoyments are there, we're responsible for. So the Kalinga bird is cursing or questioning, why is providence so cruel? And what does it have to gain by taking away inflicting misery upon a friend or relative? And we also have that mentality from time to time. What is there to gain by this suffering in life? Why would the Lord do such a thing? And then he goes on to explain how if you're going to take my wife, then you should take me also. And I remember my mother actually expressing that same sort of mentality. Now that her husband has passed, I should pass also. And again, this is something, it's a very common phenomenon, that as soon as the mate leaves, the other wants to leave. What is the use of staying here in this world? And sometimes it even happens. People die out of grief. Take me also. What is the use of living in this world? And what about the family? There may be so many relatives and friends, and in this story, the Kalinga bird, Kalinga bird is thinking, what about the baby birds? They're at home waiting, waiting for their mother to come and feed them. So we're also in this mentality that, well, who will maintain them? What to do now? Just like, again, I remember my mother, she was thinking, well, how will life go on? How am I going to be able to do all of this? How am I going to maintain them? And while we're lamenting like this, we don't realize how death is so near. Just as this Kalinga bird, he was lamenting. And as he was lamenting about his condition, the condition of his wife Kalinga, the hunter came and shot him. So all the while we're lamenting, we don't know how close death is for ourselves. And again, this is an unfortunate condition in material life, that one becomes so so much absorbed, as Prabhupada points out in a previous purport. He quotes that wonderful verse, Yasyatma Buddhi Kuni Petri Dadu Ke, that the living entity begins to identify so much with this body, which is made simply of bile, mucus, and air, that one loses all reason and all intelligence. Instead, we begin to identify with this suffering condition that I happen to be in, when in actuality, it's only pertaining to this body. So, and one should, with just a little bit of thought, thinking clearly, one can realize that, again, this position is offered to us by the order of the Supreme. And one should be satisfied with that position. It may not always be enjoyable. It may be very difficult. But again, it's a position that's being offered by the personality of Godhead. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj used to say that the benign hand of Krishna is a better judge than our silly selves. We may make a certain judgment as to how things should happen in life, but even the benign hand, or the favorable hand, we have to see it as a favorable movement. The hand of God, no matter what our condition, is always, we should understand, to be favorable, and it's meant for our improvement. Unfortunately, in conditioned life, one doesn't see that. Instead, one again thinks in relation to this a temporary situation, and what kind of enjoyment am I going to be missing out on. It's a matter of faith. Srila Prabhupada explains later on in this pastime that it's a matter of the living entity having faith in the Lord, that again, whatever Krishna arranges for us is meant to happen for our advancement. Actually, again, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj makes one very nice statement, that no matter what trouble may be presented, that one should always remain the servant of Radha Govinda, his worshipable deities. So it sounds like a tall order, but when we hear these very nice pastimes, and we get this information from great authorities, as we're getting now from Srila Prabhupada through his purports, Again, we're hearing from Shukadeva Goswami, or we're hearing from Narada, we're hearing from Pallad, or we're hearing from Yamaraj, and now we're hearing all of this from Srila Prabhupada's purports. So when we hear from such great personalities, then our illusion is dispelled, just as in this pastime after Yamaraj, or he uses this, Hiranyakashipu uses this, this example of the king of Sujana. He gives this narration of Yamaraj speaking to Sujana's relatives. After all of this, finally the relatives of Hiranyakashipu are satisfied. But it's interesting how all of it was quite transcendental. The instructions given by Yamaraj are quite amazing. And it makes you wonder why this would be brought up in a conversation with such a great demon like Hiranyakashipu. But again, we can only, at least for me, I can only understand that it's, again, it's Krishna's pastime, giving an opportunity for his devotee, whether it be Yamaraj or Narada Muni or Prahlad, to give transcendental knowledge. And indirectly, it is glorifying, Hiranyakashipu is here glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's quite fascinating. Anyway, this pastime is full of so many nice discourses, and it's all bona fide. Again, it's not that it's just recent or some convenient example, but it's, as Prabhupada points out, histories that go back even before the time of Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.